if you do go to the pyramids, do not accept anything from anyone because they're gonna scam you. It's the girls that kind of have like that Toronto accent, like, we went to Brampton and I was like, why is everyone here brown? I was like, am I still in Canada? He was like, yeah, you're just in Brampton. I was just like, well, what do I do? And then he was like, what do I do? I was 1 week in the country and I was already lost in Brampton, bro.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Borough Sound, recording here live at 25th Hour Studios. I'm your host with the most, DJ Czar. We got a special guest in the building, someone who has about 74,000 followers on TikTok with over 4.8 million likes, straight from Egypt via Dubai.
Yeah, right? You've done your research.
I did a little research, brother. Omar Beltaghi in the building.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I'm ready.
Yo, bro, this guy found his way in here, and like no one has ever found their way in here without like me having to grab them from outside or like call me. So one, I'm impressed by just the navigation skills.
I appreciate it. You know, I learned it as soon as I came here to Canada. You know, that's just how it's been. I've been asking everyone.
I feel like people, especially from the Arab world. And you've probably seen a lot of different things. I mean, you were in Egypt in what you called like a cult farm kind of area. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you went to Dubai and now you're here. So I feel like people who have seen hardship, they're able to figure things out by themselves. They're not like, oh, like, where is it? I don't know where it is. Like, yo, you asked random people. This guy asked a random Chinese woman who, yo, that's probably part of the furniture store, bro. Like, it's a separate building, but like, you're a beast for that.
She was pissed. No, she was, and then I asked like some guy in the garage, and then I asked some other guys who don't want to speak English, and then he let me here. So
yo, I'm really impressed by that. And I did a little research. I know you did originally have a YouTube channel, which The Annoying Boy, which is still up. And it's crazy. This man's first video, you're like 10, bro. You're like, what's up, guys? I'm The Annoying Boy. Like, I'm going to make social experiments.
Hi, guys. This is The Annoying Boy. And today I'll be talking about what will I do in my upcoming videos.
So I could see that even from an early age, you always kind of like were geared towards content creation. And then I guess your last YouTube video was like a year ago or something, but you kind of start to focus more on like micro content on Instagram and TikTok, which is your biggest platform. So how did you start making your current style of content like on TikTok and Instagram?
Well, you know, first of all, I started my YouTube channel when I was like 13, 12. Okay. And I used to do pranks, you know, just kind of like express myself. I used to do like skits and all that. And then I just took a break. I took a break for like 3-4 years. And one day I was sitting, like I used to do like TikTok on the side, but I wasn't that serious. And then I went back to Dubai, you know, to go visit my family. And then I was looking at my family's state, you know, I'm not going to say it's like the best, you know, it wasn't the best. Okay. And I was kind of like sitting in bed, and me and my brother we were sharing a room, and we were both sitting in bed, and we were like, man, I got to do something bigger. You know, I got to do something better because, you know, I have all these different obstacles, you know, what's happening with my family, being alone in Canada, you know, like it's a big challenge, you know? And I was like, I want to do something bigger because my first year in Canada, that was after my first year. Mm. My first year in Canada was a big flop. I was new to the country. I didn't know what I was doing. I was working a minimum wage job and I would blow everything on my rent. Like I wasn't making any money, you know? Mm. And I was, you know, I was like 17, 18 at the time because I graduated early. Mm. So my brother was just like, do TikTok and just keep on doing it. So I started doing TikTok, and at first, you know, it wasn't doing well. And then I did this interview with Ronnie Coleman because I used to work.
I saw the bodybuilder, yeah.
I used to work as an interviewer back in Dubai for like a few months, for like 4 months, and I met a lot of high-minded people, you know, like they gave me a lot of advice, and that's what really helped me out right now. Mm. And I interviewed people like Ronnie Coleman, Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead, I think Ross Marquand, Big Rami, a lot of different names, a lot of big names. And the Ronnie Coleman video blew up after I reposted it for the third time. So guys, if a video flops, that doesn't mean it's game over. Content is content at the end of the day. Like I could interview some guy who doesn't even know, like, who gave boring answers, but I will find a way to make a content, to make content out of it, you know? And that's what I did. You know, I did an interview with Ronnie Coleman. I was like, what do you have to say to everyone who's skipping legs? And he was like, don't skip legs or something like that, you know? And it got 700,000 views. I was stuck at 4.4K for 5 months, making straight content 4 times a day. I never gave up, and all my friends were making fun of me, and like negativity was surrounding me like crazy, but I didn't stop. And then after that interview blew up, a few of my other videos blew up and all that. And then my biggest hit, which was my mom prank. I pranked my mom with the alcohol and it got 5.5 million. And that, honestly, without it, I'm not going to lie, like I probably would have 30K by now, you know, by the end of this year. Like this video skyrocketed me to 20K. And then from there, I just started branching out on different content. I started doing Arabic content. And then, you know, like, I feel like in the beginning, like when you guys are doing content, it's always good to kind of like go, like, let's just say you're from Toronto. It's not a bad thing to do Toronto content and then like slowly move into American content or whatever you want to do, you know? But I feel like in the beginning, you should stick to your roots. So that way, you know, you kind of connect with your people and then your people will help you grow out your audience, you know? At the end of the day, like, you don't got to worry about anything as long as you have that creative mindset. I promise you, as long as you have a creative mindset, it doesn't matter what's happening, you're going to make it. You know, you're going to do, like, you know, you're going to be better.
Do you find that when you started making content more towards the Arab community that it kind of built like a real following? Whereas if you just focus on Toronto content, like, you might get views and likes, but or do you feel like the like your fan base, is it mostly Arabs?
Right now, it's still mostly Arabs, but obviously it has decreased since, you know, like, I kind of built a following in Toronto. But as I said, like, I do feel like the reason why I have a very loyal fan base, although I have like 70K, like, it is a lot, you know, it's a big thing. But, you know, you have people that have like 200K and 300K and 400K, but they don't have a fan base. I have people that genuinely connect to me, that connect to my jokes, connect to my little jokes, you know? So I have kind of this like community and this family. And even when, you know, like, I needed help, like with when I got into a car accident, my fan base, I don't even consider my fan base, like my family, you know, like I consider my family, they helped me out, you know? When my sister got bullied and I asked people, you know, to spread awareness and to kind of like show some love to my little sister, you know, because she's 11. I started this movement called hashtag We're With You, Miriam, because she was getting bullied in school and she's 11, you know, like, I do believe like bullying to some extent, like bullying, like, there's a way, like, criticism is fine. But when you're just getting picked on by the whole school, like being that one person, you're getting picked on by the whole school, it's crazy. Especially that you're a girl too, you know? And I do believe if it wasn't for my like family, like, you know, my fan base, I would have never made it reach 500,000 views, and I would have never like been able to spread the awareness.
So Omar, how does someone convert their followers into fans? Like, cause there's a difference. There are some people who will watch your stuff. They might even interact with it, but they're not like a fan that's going to take you to the next level or stick with you on that journey. So how do you distinguish between like a follower and a fan? How do you get fans instead of just followers or viewers, you know?
I would say, first of all, always be yourself. Always be yourself. Like, people know me for me, you know? That's why my content is very, very, like, I have no niche. I just do whatever I want and it gets views, you know? Sometimes it flops, but like, it's because I'm myself, you know? And also, another thing is, don't be afraid to try different things, you know? Like, I went from Arab content and then I went to Persian content. Like, I you'd be surprised. That's actually how I got some people in Toronto, through Persian people, you know? And that would have never happened if I didn't have the Arab content first. Then after the Persian content, I started doing York interviews. And because I started doing York interviews, everyone else started doing York interviews. Like, all the York interviews you see right now, I'm the OG. Like, I'm literally, if you look at the stats, I was literally the first person who ever did a York interview. Not, maybe someone did a York interview before me, but I'm I'm the first person at York that blew up from doing interviews, and I was known for that. And I started interviewing all these different people, and like, honestly, now York is a content fest. It's a creator fest, man. You go to York, you see everyone wants to do interviews. That's why, like, I don't do York videos anymore, you know? But yeah, like,
how did you and City Boy JJ link up? Because I see you guys do a lot of collabs too, and he's kind of in that. You guys obviously have different specializations, but you guys also do the university interviews and kind of like, I don't want to say cringy content, because I feel like you guys know what you're doing, but it's also like, it's content that's going to get a reaction. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for me, not all my content is like that. You know, like, I... like, mostly, like, I just do my own content, you know, my interviews, you know, my funny videos, my skits, my pranks with my mom, just normal interviews. But if you're just talking about, like, my videos with City Boy JJ, we met actually at York, and we filmed our first ever video, and it blew up. It got, like, a million, got a million, and then we kept doing more videos. Like, I think me and City Boy JJ's videos got, like, 3 million views. Or like 4 million views. Like, we got a lot of views together. And yeah, that's how I met the guy. The guy is a great guy. He's not like what everyone thinks, you know?
I feel like even you, like, meeting you, like, I can tell, like, you're a genuine dude. And your content, it's very, like, diverse, because you do have, like, you know, like, the stuff with your mom and the WhatsApp, and I think that's hilarious. And then the street interviews as well. But when it comes to... I guess looking forward, do you see yourself kind of continuing to grow as a content creator? Do you one day want to be a journalist, or like make movies, or be an act? Like, where do you want to take it? Because I think you're going to be bigger than just like a TikTok guy. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much for that. For me, honestly, my goal is to just be bigger than life. You know, like, I want to honestly, like... Logan Paul has inspired me, and that was actually like my dream before that, and it's to honestly be a WWE wrestler. You know, I don't see a lot of people talking about this, but I want to be a WWE wrestler. Guys, I love WWE. Like, I watch it until this day, and it's, you know, people can call it fake and you can call it whatever they want, but at the end of the day, it has a lore, it has a story, and it keeps people watching. You know, there's a reason why grown-ass men still watch this. And it's because of the story, you know? These are real life stuntmen that put in 365 days in a year. Like, literally, like, they work every day, you know? And watching Logan Paul do content and becoming a wrestler, like, honestly, inspires me to actually follow the footsteps of him without the Japan part and all that.
Would you, if you were in the WWE, one, what would your name be? And would you be like a heel, or would you try to be like a good guy?
So I kind of like have this like gimmick, you know, already. And I think honestly, it's like, it would be a good gimmick, you know, kind of like, it would be my name, Omar Biltagi, kind of like how Randy Orton, John Cena. My gimmick would kind of be like, you know, honestly, I haven't really thought of it, but kind of like a powerhouse, you know?
Okay.
And I would kind of like want to be like, let's just say if Randy Orton is still there, or like when any of the old wrestlers are still there, you know, I can kind of be like their mentor, and then kind of have this like mentor versus young mentoree.
There was, who was that one Arab wrestler, Iron Sheik?
Iron Sheik was Persian. One Arab wrestler right now is Sami Zayn. And yo, Sami Zayn is amazing. You know, he's done a lot. And the thing is, like, a lot of the Arab community don't recognize that. He's main evented at WrestleMania. And not a lot of, like, if you think about it, like, in the history of WrestleManias, 40 WrestleManias, and a lot of people, like, have main evented more than once. Sami Zayn managed to be one of them, and he's a Muslim Arab, you know? So that's something huge for me, and I'm huge for a lot of people out there, a lot of kids that look up to him. So,
I didn't even know you're into WWE. Now I have like all these WWE questions. Okay, who are your top 5 WWE wrestlers of all time?
Oh, all time? All time. John Cena.
Okay.
Randy Orton. Damn. All time is crazy.
Is Rey Mysterio on that list?
Jeff Hardy for sure. Hardy. I would say Roman Reigns right now. And damn, you can say Edge.
Edge. You know he's from Toronto. Well, he's actually from Orangeville, like an hour out, but he's from here.
Yeah, Edge is amazing, man.
Edge was sick. He took so much like detail in terms of like designing his outfits and his storyline and his character. Like he really took it seriously. And like you were saying, like grown men still watch wrestling because it's a mix of like theater and sport. It's like almost like gladiatorial kind of thing, but it's controlled chaos and it's super entertaining. And I think that is a unique goal for someone to have. I never heard someone from Toronto be like, yeah, I'm trying to be in a WWE, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Inshallah, bro.
Inshallah. Hopefully it works out, you know?
Okay, so what I did see, the reason actually I hit you up, because I seen you like here and there. I think I saw you with like City Boy JJ content. But then when I saw the Wave Room rant that you went on, calling Toronto the fakest city.
Mostly everyone here is an ass. And the nice people, they have a big ass ego and they think that they're the top.
I was like, yo, I got to get this guy on because I know this is a sentiment that many people hold. So what made you realize that Toronto was what you call the fakest city?
Okay. So first of all, I just want to say, when I made that video, I low-key regret it only for one reason, not for my statement, just because I kind of said it in a very negative tone. But it had to be said in a negative tone, but I was kind of like pushing towards like more positive content. And I was actually trying to get rid of the Toronto content. Like that's it, like, after that video was the last Toronto content I'm ever posting for a very long time. Because first of all, as I said, like, you know, Toronto is a very small city, you know, and not a lot of people are trying to do bigger things, you know, larger than life things. So everyone just always hates on each other. You know, you have like, because in Canada, everyone comes from nowhere. You know, we all come from small beginnings. We all come from humble beginnings. So when that someone gets a bit of a following, gets a bit of like exposure, whether they start a small business, whether they start a small clothing brand, they always have this big ego. And the reason why I'm saying this, it's because I've dealt with a lot of people like that. You know, I've dealt with a lot of nice people, but I've also dealt with a lot of people with big egos. And what makes it hard for me is I don't have a big ego. Although I have 74K, I just feel like I'm a normal guy. And because I am a normal guy, these numbers don't matter. In any second, I could lose these numbers. I could lose everything because I've already experienced that. I've lost a lot of things in my life and I've lost a lot of blessings in my life. So that's why I know that these numbers don't matter. My status doesn't matter. You know, I just think I'm a normal university student who's just trying to make it out, you know. But that's the thing. A lot of people in Toronto just, you know, once they get a little bit of status, they think like they're the shit. They have a big ego, you know. They start giving you attitude. There's a lot of attitude here in the city. And I'm not like that. So when I don't have an ego and I'm surrounded by an ego fest, you know, and everyone's just trying to eat on each other, it drives me crazy, you know? Like, what am I supposed to do, you know? So, like, I kind of made that video. Do I regret it? I only regret it in the sense of, like, spreading more negativity, you know? I should have said it in a more positive tone. And I do apologize for anyone that took offense, but I did mean everything I said, you know? I'm not going to back down from what I said, you know? Because it's the truth, you know? Like, people like you know, you're a good guy, you know? Another person who might have a podcast might go like, you know, oh yeah, shit, I have the podcast, you know, I'm big shit, you know, whatever. Like, people are just like that, you know? Like, I know people with 1,000 followers and they think they're like big shit, you know, but they're not, you know, like no one is. At the end of the day, like, you guys got to realize that, I swear to God, it doesn't matter if you have 1 million, doesn't matter if you have 10 million, doesn't matter if you're a CEO, you could lose everything one day and all that ego is... like, it's not going to help you out, man. It's not going to help you out, you know?
That's well said. And I do think, actually, it had to be said the way you said it because it's like a wake-up call, you know? Like, I feel like, yeah, you're right. In Toronto, you meet people who have a little clout. And if you don't have as much clout, they look like, okay, I don't need this guy. Or I don't. They don't treat people just as individuals. Or, like, you know, they treat you like, oh, you're a fan or something because you're showing love. So this is, I think, a bigger cultural problem, not just in Toronto, but maybe... In Canada or the West, maybe it has to do with the fact that it's very competitive here. Like the Toronto creative market, we're all kind of competing for clout. And, You know, you feel like, oh, I have clout, so I've accomplished something. Oh, but these other people, they don't have what I have because I'm XYZ. But like you said, it can all be someone. You can get your Instagram account removed. So all the hundreds of thousands of followers, everything gone. Now you got to start again, you know? So, well, I think the humble approach that you have and even just meeting you, that's what's going to make you successful. That's what's going to take you to the next level where, you know, you're going to be bigger than people, but you're not going to act bigger than people. You know what I'm saying? Because you come from humble beginnings. And I want to know a little bit about, one, your Egyptian upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then transitioning to Dubai. How did that happen?
Okay, so basically, I moved to Dubai when I was like literally like 12 months. I lived in Dubai my whole life.
Ah, okay.
But I used to spend all my summers in Dubai, in Egypt.
Hmm.
So like summer is like what, 4 months, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
So I would spend 3 months every year. That's like, I don't know how many. Wait, 3 months and 3 years. That's like, I'm not going to do the math right now. But you could say like four years. If you count them out, maybe it's like 4 or 5 years of okay. Egypt. And in my time in Egypt, you know, I realized that, yo, man, you guys should count your blessings. You know, the kids in Egypt are struggling, you know, like, especially like, because I come from a farm side. That is true. Like all my farm stories that I have said are true. And basically, whoever doesn't know, I have a farm back in Egypt. And it's basically like just all my cousins and all my uncles from my farm side. And, you know, we have like donkeys, cows. And I see these guys, like I see these kids, you know, they have to take like, you have to go inside a small van, and the van is like, bro, smushed, you know, like there's no space, you know, like, and they have to like go through mud and go through grass, you know, and like just to get to school, you know, and their school is not even like good. It's a very small school, you know, and it just makes me count my blessings, you know. And when I would go to the farm, like there would not be any AC, you know. Like our food was good. I'm not gonna lie, our food was like organic, you know, fresh hot milk, you know, fresh eggs. Mm. But my point is that like a lot of kids in Egypt, you know, just don't have the blessings that people in Dubai have and the people in Canada have too. You know, a lot of people in Canada go like, this university is shit. Oh, this university stinks. Oh, the homeless. Oh, the crackheads. This is me actually talking good about Toronto, okay? Guys, Toronto is such a blessing compared to Egypt in that sense. But if you're talking about like the livelihood and the people and the culture and all that, I personally obviously prefer Egypt, you know? Mm. I prefer like staying in Egypt, but living, I prefer to live in Toronto. Unless I was like super loaded, then I would probably live in the North Coast in Egypt. But yeah, Egypt's amazing. You know, people there are nice. People there are respectful. And yeah.
How would you compare the general mental health of people coming from rural Egypt versus people in Toronto? Because we might have more from a materialistic perspective, but maybe we have more depression. Maybe because my mom's family, they're from a village in Turkey and they don't have much either, but the people there are so happy. Like they're happier than people here. How is it like from your like village?
All right. So basically like it's the exact same thing. You know, like I do believe that when people have like people in Toronto, like mental health does exist, like mental illness does exist.
Huge, you know? Thing it's, in Toronto.
It's a huge thing and it does exist, you know, like I do believe it. But I do believe a big reason why it's like that, it's because like of the mindset, you know.
Mm.
Back in Egypt, the mindset is kind of like, you know, we count our small blessings, you know, like let's just say we have a big, huge problem. We're going to count our small blessings. And these small blessings are like having a roof over our head, you know, having food, having a family, you know. But the thing is, in Canada, like, I don't blame anyone, you know, but in Canada, people were never raised to go like, yo, you got to count your small blessings, you know. The parents just kept complaining to their kids.
Mm.
And what would the kids do? Complain. My dad, huge shout out to Baba, you know, but like my dad, you know, he struggled so much. My dad was a single. My grandfather died when my dad was 15. My dad was a single man of 7 sisters, and his brother was in the army. So he was the only one. He had to work, he had to study, and he did not complain once. He took care of all 7 of his sisters, all 7 of my aunts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He found his way to Dubai, you know, and all that. And like, he never complained once. You know, he never complained once. Why? Because he counted his blessings. Imagine if someone here, or even me, honestly, even if someone like here, you know, if that happened to them, what happened to my dad? They, like, if they didn't have this mentality of let me count my small blessings, they would have had it very hard.
That's honestly motivational and inspiring, because he didn't complain, and we complain about every little thing here. Oh, the potholes. Oh, my insurance. Oh, my mortgage. And your dad just put his head down, said alhamdulillah for like everything he had. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's really about mindset versus, like, if you always are in a negative complaining mindset, you're not going to get anything positive, you know? Yeah, so shout out to your pops for real. Appreciate it. I think he'd be really proud. He's really proud to see what you become. And I think there's going to be a high trajectory for you. I have a couple more questions.
Yeah, obviously. Go ahead, man.
Top three Egyptian foods.
Top three Egyptian foods. First of all, number three, it's gonna have to be that's actually hard. Bombar.
Shu had bombar, yeah.
Bombar is basically, I think, like rice. Like, you put rice inside of testicle skin.
I could be wrong,
and you fry it, and it just tastes really good.
All right.
And the second one is kushari. Kushari is basically like chickpeas, lentils, rice, pasta, red sauce. Yeah,
like every good carb combined.
It's a carb fest, bro. That's why Egyptians are fat. You know, Egyptians are the fat. Like, I think I watched this one video. It said that Egypt is the most obese, infested country.
Really?
Yes.
You guys are up there with America? Like,
no. Yeah, I heard that Egypt's above America. bro, yeah, carb infested, bro. Like, honestly, I'm the last but not least, my number one favorite Egyptian dish, it's actually a dessert, rice pudding.
Okay.
Rice pudding is basically just like rice with milk. It's not of that Walmart bullshit. No, it's so good. It's amazing.
Is it like a shure? Like, Turkish people have sutlach. It's kind of
similar to what like the Afghans have, you know, and what the Turkish have. Like, it's like every culture has that same thing, exact same thing, but I just feel like Egyptians do it better.
Mm.
Yeah.
So growing up in Dubai, I feel like Dubai, kind of like Toronto, is known to be like a multicultural metropolitan city. So I'm sure you encountered a lot of different cultures and a lot of Arabs too, right? So I have a list of some Arab countries, and quickly just tell me the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay, sounds good.
Lebanon.
Girls.
Iraq.
Dolma.
Syria.
Shawarma.
Saudi Arabia.
Al Bayk. I'm fasting, that's why.
Jordan.
Mansaf. But I'm actually, because I'm fasting, my bad. Yo.
It's a different, this would have been different if we did after Iftar. Yeah, Kuwait.
Football.
Libya.
Damn. Libya, there's actually...
Gaddafi comes to mind for me, but it's a little different. Okay, we'll skip Libya for now. Oman.
Sounds good. Oman, the sand.
Qatar.
Didn't you say Qatar already?
I don't think so.
Football.
Morocco.
Morocco, magic.
UAE.
First word that comes to mind, perfect country.
Perfect country.
Yeah.
Yemen,
short.
Tunisia.
Girls.
Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Sudan.
They're people, man. They're so funny.
Kuwait.
Cars.
Egypt.
Egypt. The farms.
Bahrain.
The environment.
Okay. All right. That was good. This guy said girls for Lebanon and Tunisia, I think. So any Lebanese or Tunisian girls, you know what his brother likes.
I mean, I would have said Iraq too, but I was like, that's enough.
You're like, nah, Dolma.
Dolma. I was like, I got to change it up, you know?
I do have a quick question about Egypt, because, you know, we everyone associates the pyramids with Egypt, right? In Egypt, how are the pyramids viewed? Because I feel like in the West, we see it as like this mystical thing. Oh, the aliens, this, that. But in Egypt, how do people see the pyramids? Because it's like in your backyard, you know?
You know, I've actually never visited the pyramids.
What? This is an Egyptian.
No, hold up. I'm from Alexandria. Alexandria is... is, you know, a different city. I think Alexander the Great founded it. I could be wrong. No, Alexander the Great founded the city. And yeah, it's just a different city. It's more of a beachy area, you know, and Cairo is more of like a sandy area. But I will tell you one thing. If you do go to the pyramids, do not accept anything from anyone because they're going to scam you. I'm telling you from now, if you're planning on spending $10 there, you're going to spend like... easy $200 and $200. Wow, the pyramids for them, $200 would feed them for like a whole month. Please be careful because, like, Egypt is a great country, but also there's a lot of tourist scams, especially in the pyramids. The pyramids is like that's where they get their money.
What are the big scams? Is it like photography or is it like tours or like?
It's mostly like, okay, let me show you around and stuff like that. You know, like, do you want to buy this piece of like t-shirt or something? And then it's like $50, although it's like $5 or $2.
Oh, man. But there must be some people like, oh, my God, an authentic shirt from the pyramids. Like, they probably you gotta respect the hustle, like from the guys, you know,
I'm not going to lie to you. If I lived in Egypt and I needed money, I probably would have done
you go to the pyramids and find some internationals.
I probably would have scammed them and just went on with my day.
So right now, I'm learning Arabic. I'm learning the Levantine dialect because my dad's Syrian. But as someone like you grew up mostly in Dubai, but you also like are Egyptian. What are your favorite Arab accents?
Favorite Arab accents? I would have to say the... Let me think about this for a while before I give my accent. I would say the Iraqi dialect is actually like very nice. I like the Iraqi dialect. The Lebanese dialect only for the girls. Like, you know, like I feel like, you know, for the
sounds
guys.
A little fruity for, like, the dudes.
Yeah. And honestly, like I'm going to have to go with the Egyptian dialect too.
I feel like the Egyptian dialect is so widely understood because Egypt is known for like their cinema and media industry, right?
Yeah.
Are you into like Egyptian movies at all?
Yeah.
So as someone who wants to know about Egyptian cinema, what do you think are some like 5 must-see Egyptian movies?
Okay. Tir Inta.
Okay.
Tir Inta is, it's one of my favorites. Asal Uswad. It's a very funny movie. It's about this Egyptian who lived in America his whole life, and then he came to Egypt, and it just shows you how like the American passport plays a huge, huge role. You know, when you go to Egypt and stuff like that. It's a Tir Inta, Asal Uswad, Safara fil Amara. It just shows you, you know, especially like, you know, with what's happening in Palestine. It just shows you what kind of like how messed up they are. You know. Like what's happening there, it just shows you, you know, like in Egypt's point of view, in a way. It's a funny movie, but then it has like a very sad ending. That's 3. I'd have to say Murgan Ahmed Murgan. You know, it's a classic. Basically talks about this dad who goes to his kid's university. And decides he wants to graduate, you know. But the guy's already rich. Like, he's already done everything, you know. He faked his degree. He faked everything. But now he wants to, like, actually get a degree, you know, for some reason. I think because he was obsessed with their kid's professor or something.
Okay.
And the last one has to be... then there's a lot of Egyptian movies. Fil Azra. It's a scary movie. Fil Azra is honestly, like... If it was done, like, in English, you know... I'm telling you, it would have broke the internet. It's a very nice movie. It's about like, I think this like blue pill or something. And like you take it and then you go kind of crazy or something. It's very nice. I like it.
Okay. I'm gonna check those out. Cause I've heard a lot of good things about Egyptian cinema and like my dad always raves about it. And even Egyptian music is like pretty good. Like what would you do if like Omar Diab like contacted you? Like how would you feel?
Oh my God, if Amine Diaz contacted me, you know, the first thing I would do is like, yo, let's come shoot a video. You know? give me like 10 tickets for me and my family back in Egypt.
He's a huge deal there.
He is. No, he is. Like,
he's like the Michael Jackson of Egyptian music.
He is. Him, Amine Diaz, you know, Tamer Hosni, you have now Muhammad Ramadan, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have like the upcoming people like, you know, like Wigs. You have like all these amazing artists, you know, and the one thing, like, it's not because I'm being biased, but I do believe when it comes to like pop culture, Egypt has the best pop culture. You know? When it comes to the cinema, so. The music, everything. Mm. Just Egyptians are charismatic, you know, they're amazing. But also like a lot of different Arab countries are charismatic too, you know, but I just feel like Egypt plays a huge role in today's Arab world.
And the culture.
The culture, yeah. Mm. Big.
I think it's iftar soon, like, I'm pretty sure. So I have just one rapid fire round and then one more question. I'll let you go on. Where do you plan on getting iftar? You're gonna go like, there's bare Arab restaurants.
I have no idea, so I'm gonna take a walk around, you know, see how it is.
If you want, there's like Sumak Barbecue is here, like Ghadir is here, like there's really good Arab restaurants like close. Yeah. So if you want, we can all go after.
We can all go. I'm down. Yeah.
Okay, so rapid fire. Do you believe in God or a higher power?
God.
Yeah.
Allah.
If you had one last meal, what would it be?
Damn. Rice pudding.
Who's your favorite artist of all time?
Venno Malish.
If you weren't doing content creation, what would you be doing?
Probably working at Party City or something.
Just for that 1 month a year, just during Halloween. Party City is like seasonal, right? Okay, sweet food or salty food?
Sweet bowl. I have a sweet tooth.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Invisibility.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
You get tattooed? Nah, haram
alayk. Never. How am I? I can never.
Cat person or dog person?
Bro, dog.
Okay.
But they have so much fur, man. Like, stop with the fur. The fur is annoying.
These dogs need to chill.
Yeah, they look too much.
I would say blunts or papes, but I don't think
I won't smoke. I won't smoke. I won't drink. But actually, I wanted to, like, when I first came to Canada, I was like, yo, man, I can't wait to try the blunt. You know, I can't wait to start smoking and stuff like that. Although I've never smoked in my life, but I always wanted to try weed.
Yeah.
But then sadly, like, there was a person that I knew that was very close to me that used to do it a lot. And then I realized how it affected them mentally and how it actually destroyed them. Like, I really watched someone that I knew go from, like, it was bad. Like, I can't even talk about it. It was like, I do believe weed in moderation is good. But also, like, if you have too much weed, like, how are you going to succeed in life, you know?
I agree.
And I'm the type, if I like something, why put more obstacles on me when I already have so many obstacles coming to this country, you know?
I feel you. How about, like, shisha? Like, you don't even...
Shisha's fine. You know, like, a hit or two, you know? Like, yeah. But I'm not a heavy smoker. Like, literally, I have one or two hits and I'll die. Like, my lungs are not used to it.
Okay. Do you prefer apples or windows, like, products, like technology?
Apple.
What was your favorite subject in school?
No subjects.
Sorry, no school.
I'd say maybe no, I hated school.
Okay,
man.
If you had to learn another language, what language would you learn?
Yo, Mandarin.
Mandarin. This guy's smart.
Mandarin is gonna... I'm sorry. English is not gonna be the main language anymore. It's gonna be Mandarin in the future. 50 years from now, Mandarin is gonna be the main language.
Our grandkids are gonna be speaking Mandarin,
They have to if they wanna, like, succeed in business. That's actually what they do now. Like, you know, they speak in Mandarin now.
Okay. Okay, so what do you think happens when you die?
I do believe you just stay in grave, you know, and then the angels, you know, because for us, you know, the angels come and they ask us three questions, you know. They ask us, like, questions about, like, our faith and all that stuff. And then it depends on how good you were or bad you were, you know, like, you're just going to be in the grave, you know, you're just going to be in the grave. You're, like, time is going to feel timeless, you know, but in the same time, like, if you're a good guy, then your grave is going to be very open. You know, you're going to be kind of chilling. You're going to have, you know, you're just going to be chilling, you know. But if you weren't so much of a good person, you know, the grave is going to be very tight. And then, you know, when the day of judgment happens and all that stuff, and then we all go up, You know, we just, we kind of like see if God sees if we go to hell or heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair.
It's kind of
June, you know? What time is it?
It is 7:04.
What time's it start?
7:24.
Like, okay, so we have a good time.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask, because I want people to know that, and I can tell this about you, that like you are grateful for the opportunities in Canada. Like you see Toronto, it's like it's a blessing, you know. But what are three things you would warn someone about if they were thinking about relocating to Toronto? Like what are three things that maybe you wish you knew before you came, or like that maybe someone should know if they want to make that move?
Okay. Not everyone here is nice. That's warning, right? So not everyone here is nice. A lot of people, you know, you're going to have people that have attitude, but you're also the most dangerous type of people. The people that act nice, but they're actually like the slow, like they gaslight you like very little, you know, and persuade you, like, and they kind of use you, you know. People here in Toronto kind of do that. I do believe in other countries too, but I've noticed it in Toronto more than I have in Dubai and Egypt, the two previous countries that I was in. Two, I would have to say is the girls too. the girls too, but not all girls, just the girls that kind of have like that Toronto accent, like, like calm down.
Yo, shawty, if the shawty don't have the man, I'm done.
Yo, like, I'm done. But if you're talking about, like, you know, those nice, respectable girls, like, maybe
in Vaughan,
like, Richmond Hill, you know, maybe, like, in Saga.
Oh, my God.
But again, like, oh, yeah. And the third thing is that,
oh my God,
don't come here expecting that it's going to be like High School Musical, it's going to be like Fast and Furious, or like any of those like white movies, you know. It's very diverse here in Canada, like it's very, very diverse. Like, I remember the first week I was in Canada, you know, I went to go explore. I meant to go to my university. I went to Brampton by mistake. Mm. And I'm not even shitting on Brampton. Like, I really went to Brampton and I was like, why is everyone here brown?
Yeah.
And I was very confused. I was like, am I still in Canada? He was like, yeah, you're just in Brampton. The guy was like, you're just in Brampton. And then I was just like, oh shit, like what would I do? And then he was like, what did I do, bro? I was one week in the country and I was already lost in Brampton, bro. And then I remember, like, I went inside 7-Eleven. I remember exactly. And then the old brown lady was like, nah, 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 because I think I double gulped or something like that, like for the smoothies.
Yeah.
She started shouting at me and the other kid. And then I took the bus and it dropped me halfway through and I walked. I walked for 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then like some other time, you know, I went to Richmond Hill and they were all Persians, you know. And I was confused. I was like, I got lost. Every day I would get lost in a new city for the first. That's why, like, I've only been here for 2 years, but I feel like I know how the country operates, only because I got lost so many times in the first 2 months. I literally explored everywhere.
The funniest thing I've heard today was, yo, you're in Brampton. It's like, what do I do? It's almost like you went to like a different country and like you're like, oh, like how do I get back? Like, is it okay for me to be in Brampton?
Like, I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, I'm not even being racist. I was like, but then I found out that like basically every area has its country. And honestly, yeah. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
It's like, so cool.
Like how Brampton, they're all like brown people there. How Mississauga, it's all Arabs there. Mm. How in Vaughan, they're all like Italians there. You know, how in Richmond Hill, they're all Persians.
Markham, you got a lot of like Chinese and like
Pakistani. Yeah, you know, like you have like all these different, like, it's nice. Honestly, it's nice.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, you don't see that in other countries.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Toronto. Shout out to Omar Beltaghi coming through, my brother. Yeah, I appreciate you. Where can the people find you on socials?
On my TikTok, which is Beltaghi, B-E-L-T, as in belt, and then A-G-I. You know, guys, I'm going to really be producing a lot of good content, like high quality content in the next few weeks. And I can't wait for you guys to watch my videos and actually enjoy them. And yeah, my Instagram is @OmarBiltaghi_. I even started posting there. So yeah, please check me out. And yeah.
Yo, inshallah, we do some more collabs in the future. If you're ever doing some reveals video or something where like guess the Arab, like I'm there, you know what I'm saying? Let's do it. All right. Make sure you comment, like, and subscribe to The Burrow Sound. Big up Rude June in the building. Follow me at DJ Zar TV. And until next time.